I got a call from his secretary, and lo and behold, here we are next week, next Tuesday. I'll be speaking in front of the European Parliament at a historic event. I have no idea how many people will be there, but certainly I can tell you that Mario Borghesio will be there, and most likely Nigel Farage, the president of the British Independent Party, as well as a few other politicians from Italy and across Europe. Again, historic event. And Bilderberg, for the first time, has stopped being the, you know, the domain of the conspiracy theorists and the freaks who follow the one-eyed, you know, lizard people, that kind of order, and has become the, you know, the talk of the mainstream, which is exactly what we've wanted to have it for, you know, for the past 20 years, which is as long as I've been following these people around the world.
Tell me a little bit about the Bilderberg Group. Explain who they are, what it is, Daniel.
Well, you know, Bilderberg isn't a secret society. There's no conspiracy, even though a lot of people would like to think of it as, you know, as an evil eye conspiracy of some of the world's most powerful people. It's a medium of bringing together financial institutions, which are the world's most powerful and most predatory financial interests. And at this time, it is that combination which is the worst enemy of humanity. Now, the Bilderberger organization, historically, was founded through the French Synarchist movement, which is a Freemasonic, Martinist, esoteric secret society. Now, the Synarchist movement, in turn, was founded as the oligarchy's counterattack on the principles upon which the United States of America was founded. Now, the Bilderbergers' aim is to carry out bloodless revolutions inspired by the upper classes aimed at producing a form of government by technicians and technocrats under which home and foreign policy will be subordinated to international economy. What's interesting about these people is that actually who makes up the Bilderberg Group? It's the old NATO alliance. You're talking about the presidents of every European nation, Canada and the United States, although it's true that the sitting president of the United States never attends because his every second of his time is very much accounted for. But again, he's well represented by others who represent the government. Then you have top 50, 60 CEOs of the leading corporations. You have the leading bankers, the United States Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, you have the congressmen and European commissioners. They're joined at this one long table by the leading lights of the world media, such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, Le Monde from France, Grupo Prisa from Spain. And finally, you know, they're also at this big log table, you know, there's always room for the European royalty, which is a very important part of the Bilderberger history. It's not just a decorative piece. The royalty is actually the key element, the cogs of the entire movement.
They've been there for a long, long time. Is it safe to say that this group is what we've always called the group that wants the New World Order?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Actually, it's a bit of a misconception in a way that, you know, Bilderberg, first of all, it's not a monolith, meaning that no group of people, I don't care how powerful they are, sit around a table holding hands, staring at a crystal ball, planning the world's domination. It's not so much about one world order, a new world government, you know, especially a lot of people point to the George H.W. Bush speech back in the 1990s as kind of the key phrase to this, you know, towards this, you know, government control. It's actually, you know, it's a meeting of people who represent a certain ideology. And that ideology is rather one world company limited. It's the ideology of control by corporations at the expense of governments. And this is exactly what George Ball said back in the 1968 Bilderberger meeting in Canada when he said, you know, how can we create the world where corporations one day shall give orders to governments? It's a very dynamic system, you know, in that it changes with the times, absorbs, and creates new parts while excreting the remains of the decaying parts, such as, you know, Arthur Anderson, Enron. Members come and go, but the system itself, it has not changed. It is a self-perpetuating system, a virtual spider web of interlocked financial, political, economic, and industry interests with the Venetian ultramontane Fondi model at the center. Again, it's not about one world government, but rather one world company limited. And, you know, just all you need to do is just have a look at Greece today.
Sure.
You have the International Monetary Fund, you have the World Bank, you have the European Central Bank, which are not, you know, the governmental institutions elected by the people, rather by the technocrats. They're actually telling, you know, a supposed sovereign nation of Greece what they must do in order to get their house in order. This is just an idea. gives you an example how it's not so much about the one world government, but rather one world company.
Why does it seem, Daniel, that countries like Russia, like Iran, maybe China, seem to be going not in tandem with the Bilderbergs, but opposite what they want? Why are they the rogues?
Well, because, well, that's actually a very good word, rogues. You know, anybody who is not with them is a rogue. Well, because these nations are actually not part of Bilderberg. The Bilderberg Alliance, this is your typical Anglo-American alliance of some of the most powerful, you know, banking houses in the world. This is, you know, what today's called the Bilderberg Group. Actually, 800 years ago already existed, and it was called the Venetian Black Nobility. You know, I spent 2.5 years investigating the roots of Bilderbergers in Florence and Italy, and I can tell you there are documents, which is why I can prove it historically, which is why the New York Times of this world have left me alone, because they know they cannot discredit me.
Right.
What's today called Bilderberg, 800 years ago already existed. It was the old Venetian Black Nobility, and Venice being Venice, it has nothing to do with Russia. It has nothing to do with China. It has nothing to do with Iran, although it is true that there are an occasional Russian and even Chinese representative who attended Bilderberg back in 2004 in Italy. But these are rogue elements. These are, you know, this is your typical fifth column. These are the individuals who are actually working against the interests of Russia nation state or China nation state, and again, against the interests and for the interests of the Bilderberger Club Alliance.
Do they create wars, Daniel?
Well, you know, that's a very tricky question because, you know, again, to believe that, you know, a small group of individuals, you know, control the, you know, the world events as in, you know, as if the rest of the world literally, you know, played to a tune of two or three people, you know, such as the isolated intentions of a small group of people. It's a Cartesian fantasy world of primitive minds. Rather, what you're looking at is the dynamic of social processes that shape the course of history as the movement of evolving ideas and themes over successive generations. So, for example, you know, what we're seeing today, you know, such as the in Europe, the destruction of nation states, whether it's before we had, you know, countries in Europe, we had Spain, for example. I live in Spain, as you know. You know, we had our currency, which was called the peseta. We had our own constitution. Mm-hmm. We had our own borders, our own flag, you know, our own monetary policy. Right now, Spain doesn't have any of that. It's all dictated, you know, by the unelected officials from Brussels.
Sure.
So, you know, Spain has lost all of these. But again, it's not that someone said to someone else, go and take it away from them. It has been a very long and arduous process, which has literally gone on for over 600 years, going back to the 1439, you know, 1440 Council on Florence, where some of the great minds at the time, just before the Renaissance, have actually come together and said, you know, we can actually work together as nations and as people and actually do this for the betterment of humanity, you know, the concepts of common good, general welfare, you know, as written in the preamble to the United States Constitution. So, you know, it's not easy to create wars, but certainly when you have people who control key institutions in different nations, obviously wars is an easier thing to actually put together.